Phil Henry Show at 1-800-449-8686. And we're talking with Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills. Now, he's a restaurateur who has decided that he is going to allow cigarette smoking in his restaurant from 3 o'clock this afternoon on. This is as a protest, or actually is more done in solidarity with the tobacco companies that he thinks are being wrongly victimized with lawsuits. Now, Ted, first of all, I want to ask you, has there anybody been cited in your restaurant yet?
Phil, not that I know of. We have a capacity on any given night of probably about 150 people in our steakhouse, the main dining room, and we have not had anybody cited yet. And I have told and I've instructed my management personnel on site that we will pay the fine of anybody who is cited.
Okay, you're doing this because you think that the tobacco companies have unfairly...
Well, Phil, it started really when they outlawed cigarette smoking in the state of California in restaurants. It started then. That got me angry. But now, I've got to tell you something. It goes back to when I was a kid. My father said to me, someday you're going to be successful. You're going to make a lot of money. And the first thing that's going to happen to you when you make a lot of money, Ted, and my father told me this, is that the same thing that happened to me when I made a lot of money. All these people are going to come out of the woodwork and want to sue you. They're going to want some of you. They're going to want some of your money. And sure enough, he was right. I got a woman who's been chasing me for the last 3 years who wants money, 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 money. This is like a stalking mentality. Marcia is one of those...
Marcia Bell? That was your ex-wife.
Well, she's... Yeah, but whatever. I mean, she's bugging me for money morning, noon, and night. What I'm trying to tell you, Phil, is that...
An ex-wife bugging you for money sounds like alimony or maybe some former child support. All I'm saying to you is, why shouldn't a woman who is with lung cancer and brain cancer be able to settle with an industry that has acknowledged that they have manipulated nicotine levels and...
Because of the fact that if it doesn't stop... First of all, because she's playing on the suit, this cancer thing is overrated. I am telling you...
Well, I'm going to hear from some people about that. You say that lung cancer and brain cancer are completely overrated.
Absolutely. Completely curable. The cure rate on lung cancer is probably... It's got to be somewhere in the 70 to 80% rate. Same thing with brain cancer. But they walk into a courtroom and they say, oh, I got brain cancer. And, oh, Jesus, give them $20 million. Come on! They ought to know better. Juries should know better. These lawyers ought to know better.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Here is Tampa on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Hello, Phil.
Yes.
Hey, I really enjoy your show. Let me get right to the point. I don't know who this young man is that owns all this property or has the restaurant in L.A. or whatever, but I've lost some relatives to lung cancer, and I'm a smoker myself, which is not
When was that?
I've lost three relatives, my grandfather, my
Well, that's a long time. I'm talking about now, the therapies and drugs they're using now. Lung cancer is very curable now.
Your
grandfather, that's one thing.
Where do you get this information from? I've never heard
of it. I'm just saying that when a guy walks into a courtroom and says to a jury, I've got lung cancer and I got brain cancer because I got it from smoking cigarettes, and the jury starts going into the boo-hoo mode, oh, well, we better give the guy $20 million, it's ridiculous.
When
are they going to stop punishing the wealthy? When are they going to stop coming after people?
I don't think that the lawsuits that are going down against the tobacco company are correct, especially...
Right. Well, the same thing with all of this. These people who come in with their phony baloney lung cancer, and they're talking about, oh, how bad their brain cancer is or their pancreatic cancer. It's a bunch of bull.
A bunch of bull.
Absolutely.
So this guy's grandfather, who died from lung cancer...
Well, I mean, it was before they got the drugs to cure it.
Well, my aunt died in 1989 from lung cancer.
Still 11 years ago.
Well, 11 years ago, they didn't have a cure for cancer, and they still don't, partner.
It's way better. It's way better. Okay? Hello?
I think
well,
he hung
it's
up.
Not really okay. I mean,
no,
you're saying one thing... But where do you get this information from? I have never heard of one single person.
My information.
That's right. That's
I'm
exactly right.
I'm 43 years old, sir.
That's exactly right.
I'm
Who's...
43 years old. I've never heard of one person being cured of lung cancer. And you're saying 78.
Wait a minute. Wait. You've never heard of it? They remove lungs all the time.
Yeah, they cure people. Sometimes it's radical therapy. They have to remove nodes, or they have to remove the entire lung.
Sure, that's how they do it.
So you're saying that's the 90% cure rate?
Look, the guy says they don't cure people from lung cancer. I'm telling you that they do. And when a guy goes into a courtroom and says they got lung cancer, it's just not that bad.
It's just not that bad?
No, lung cancer is not as bad as everybody says it is. I mean, it's
really?
Like...
Well, how
Have
bad
ever
is it?
Have you seen anybody that you know die from lung cancer?
That was a long time ago before they had a cure. They used to die from the flu, too. Now you get the flu, big deal. You got the sniffles, you go to work the next day. But they used to die from it. Lung cancer, the same deal.
Sir, I don't think you can compare the flu with lung cancer.
It's essentially the same thing.
It's essentially
how do you figure that?
Each other at all.
Lung cancer and a bad chest cold. Essentially the same deal.
Partner? You know, you sticking up for the tobacco companies is one thing.
Wait a minute. I have friends that have had cancer and are now living happy lives.
You don't know what you're talking about.
Wait a second.
Absolutely nothing to do with each other.
Wait a second. I've had friends that have had
nothing like each other.
Sir, I've had friends that have had cancer and they now live happy lives. I'm just tired of these bald-headed chemo freaks complaining about this, that.
Bald-headed chemo
freaks. I'm talking about my mother.
Bald-headed chemo freaks, huh?
Well, what do they always sit around there?
Melanoma cancer.
They got a tumor.
She didn't smoke.
They got a tube running out of their arm with their bald heads and are in a wheelchair. Just shut up about your cancer and get on with your life. And
God, how bad do you want the tobacco country? You know something? Is your business falling off that much since you've eliminated smoking in a restaurant that you got to sit here and shill for the tobacco company?
What did you say?
You're a shill for the tobacco company.
You know something, Phil? You're a friend of mine. Otherwise, you'd be tasting my right hand with a comment like that.
Oh, physical violence, huh?
Maybe.
Yeah, you are childish. You're childish.
I'm childish.
Man, I
this
wish
guy called me a
shill. I was where you are.
You're the guy that said
right
lung cancer. Thank you for your call, sir. Lung cancer is like a bad cold.
I'm saying it's curable like a chest cold.
Dana Point on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hello. Listen, I have personal experience. My father died.
Oh, here we go. Somebody else with personal experience.
Yes, my father died last year of the cancer started in his lung.
Well, did you get him to a doctor?
He was treated at MD Anderson in Houston, Texas, one of the three largest centers in the United States. But
it's a cancer center. The City of Hope, you ever heard of that?
Yeah.
Because you've never heard of it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. Because you say cancer is curable does not make it curable. Do you know the thousands upon thousands of
people? How long did he wait before he went to the doctor?
You know, he went as soon as he went very quickly.
As soon as he started spitting up blood? That's too late, okay?
No.
You know, you got to go.
You know what?
If you can cure lung cancer, but you got to get a regular physical.
If you own a restaurant, it does not make you a doctor.
Absolutely.
You
are not an expert.
You have the intelligence of one of the steaks that you serve.
Oh, that's very good.
Sorry.
That's good. That's funny.
I'm sorry.
No, ma'am, I serve a great steak.
And Phil,
I serve a hell of a steak, okay?
But what you're doing is allowing this man, do you know how much free advertisement he is getting?
Ma'am, all I'm saying is that Ted's a Beverly Hills Steakhouse, and I know, you can't stand that, can you? You can't stand that. I'm saying that the guy asked me a question, the man asked me a question, why would a non-smoker want to come into my restaurant? Because we serve the best G.D. Porterhouse steak.
You have no shame.
Ma'am, we serve the best G.D. Porterhouse steak.
My father is dead. My father was a smoker. Yes, I think that
I guess he should have figured that out when he started smoking, huh?
You know what? You're absolutely right.
When did he start smoking?
Have a little compassion. The woman's father is dead, okay?
We're not suing anybody because he smoked. But I have a lot of compassion for those people who are going. What bothers me about this whole thing is that because you say cancer is curable, that makes it curable. You are not a doctor, and you are not God.
You're telling me they never cured a guy from lung cancer.
There is a 2% survival rate for brain cancer, and you may look that up anywhere.
Brain cancer is the most overrated disease. It's an overrated disease.
Oh, no, it's not.
Wait a second. What are you talking? Brain cancer? That's the central. That is the main computer of the body. You get a cancer there.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute.
There is a 2%
you know, the two of you,
survival rate.
Man, what I'm trying to say. What I'm trying to say. Not if you get it in time. What I'm trying to tell you.
That's not so.
You come down.
That's
not so. Man, let's not yell at each other. Are you married, ma'am? Are you married?
Because
you bring your husband down. You and your husband have got a free Ted's of Beverly Hills. Come on down for free dinner.
You know.
I'll give you a free dinner.
I would not touch anything in. Oh, my goodness.
Let me ask you a question. Did your father sit around the house with his bald head and no eyebrows and scare the kids? He did, didn't he? And
then, how dare you?
What?
How dare you say something like that?
You know what? My father did go through years of chemotherapy.
He did so he had the bald head, huh?
How dare you say he had no eyebrows and scared kids? That is absolutely... I'm sorry, ma'am.
But you know what?
I apologize for that.
He did not scare me.
Scare the hell out of me, I'll tell you.
Would you have some sensitivity?
I was so happy to have him there and to have him at my wedding with his bald head.
Did he look like that, what's his name, Uncle Fester?
You know
all right,
what?
You know what? I'm putting him on hold. I can't stand listening to his mouth.
You know what?
I apologize.
It's You know, it's okay, but why would you let someone like that on your show?
First of all, he was doing something, he was doing something controversial. He's allowing smoking in his restaurant to protest this.
But you know how much advertisement you have given him? Do you know the number of people who are going to flock there?
Well, let me say this. If you are thinking about flocking to Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, he's allowing cigarette smoking as we speak in his restaurant. So I would think that no matter how good a steak he serves, and I have to tell you that he does serve a pretty good steak, I'll say that, that it's going to taste like crud because you're going to be sitting in a cloud of cigarette smoke.
But can you imagine supporting a man who would make fun of people going through chemotherapy?
I can't believe it. Can you imagine that?
Mr.
Bell, my producer tells me that you have...
I want to apologize to the lady.
You are apologizing?
I want to apologize.
You know how you can best apologize? You know how you can best apologize? You stop this ridiculous thing that you're doing. Because if you promote one person, if you let one person feel easier about smoking, who knows, maybe down the line they're going to end up with this brain cancer that to you is nothing more than a chest cold.
I just wanted to ask you something, ma'am. Did your father lose his eyebrows too, or was it...
Yes, he did.
Oh, come on, will you?
Yes, he
I just
did.
Wanted to know.
That's,
all right.
You know.
All right, ma'am. I thank you very much for your call. Ted Bell of Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, 1-800-449-8686. We're talking about the jury award, or I should say an award in a lawsuit filed by a woman who smoked from 1972 on against R.J. Reynolds. They've awarded her $20 million. This lady started smoking after the warning labels were put on the cigarette packs. And that was a controversial award. In any event, Mr. Bell is angry about this award, is allowing cigarette smoking to go on in his restaurant as of 3 o'clock this afternoon, and will pay the ticket of anybody who is cited by the police. And I don't mind him coming on our program and even proffering those opinions. But when he said that that woman's father, after chemotherapy, looked like Uncle Fester, that's going over the line. And I apologize. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. Last hour of radio was just phenomenal. Hi, this is Phil Hendry. 1-800-449-8686. That Ted Bell just knocks a homer every time he's on, doesn't he? Hey, by the way, speaking of something almost cancer-like, I've had this rash on my hand since about Friday. See this rash right here on my wrist, Craig? I've had this since Friday. Now, I've pretty much believe it is from my belt, the wristwatch band. There's something going on with the left side of my body is what I'm trying to say to you. Let me just cut through all the baloney and get right to it. There's something wrong with the left side of my body. When I got this engagement ring from Maria, this has meteorite stone. See this? This is actual meteorite stone. You can't see it there in Radioland, but basically it is a gray band of meteorite stone. Set in it are diamonds, and then that's all set on top of a 24-karat gold band. And I started wearing this thing. My finger almost fell off, man. It started to flake and scale. The skin was open, rubbed raw red. It was like I was getting leprosy. Within a month that I started wearing this thing on my left hand. Now, I put on a wristwatch, metal band wristwatch. Actually had a metal clasp to it. What do you think happened to my wrist right here? It started turning red and scaly and all rashed out, man. Now, I got a leather band wristwatch. Look at this arm. Now, that's leather. That ain't metal. That's leather. That ain't meteorite. That's cowhide, brother. There's something wrong with my body. Look at that. Now, it just started to kind of, you know, it's like drying up, and it feels like it's still red and messed up, but it's like it's scabbing or something. And it's on the left side of my body, the left side over here, my left arm. The closest I got to anybody explaining this to me was they said, well, maybe there's one half of your body secreting more acid than the other or some screwy thing like that. Who knows? But it doesn't happen on my right arm. I had to wear, I'm going to try an experiment. I'm going to put the watch on the left, and I did this with the other one. I put it on my left arm. Nothing happened. So while I don't have creeping, you know, I don't have melanoma or lung cancer or any of that very, very overrated brain cancer, I do have a rash, and it's scaring me. I'm Phil Henry at 1-800-449-8686. Can you believe that? I don't know what it is. Well, whatever. Okay. So I'm a big fat slob, and I have a rash on my arm. Do you want to have dinner with me? God, what is up with me? 47 years old, going on 106. Anyway, we're going to try to get rid of some of that fat. My sister came over about 2 weeks ago, cooked me a swordfish steak, said, don't eat bread, don't eat cheese, don't eat milk, don't eat. And you'll feel so much better. But I don't know what that is. I mean, it's just, this is these small maladies. Then in the summertime, my armpits, well, I don't want to get into it. But let me just say this. I had to call the dermatologist last summer about 6-7 times. What is this? Then I got this other thing. Then I got a thing on my head, and I got another thing here, and I'm bald, and God knows what's going on. We were talking in the office earlier. I don't know how we got on the subject of Jesus. Oh, Melissa and I were talking, the great Melissa Morgan, and we were talking about Jesus. And I said, when I was a kid in school, I had a nun hold up a holy card in front of all the kids, and it had Jesus' face on it. And she said, what's wrong with this picture? What's wrong with this picture of our Lord? This was a nun at the little grammar school that I went to in Arcadia, California. And on Jesus' lap were five or six little kids. We said, well, I don't know. One of the kids is not black. I mean, there's not enough minority representation. I mean, we were trying to come up with what's wrong with this picture. And she finally said, he looks effeminate. This picture of Jesus is effeminate. He looks like a fag. No, she didn't say that. But I was waiting for her to scream it out. I said, wow. You know, I mean, I never looked at it that way. A lot of those holy card pictures of Jesus, he was very kind of simpy looking, kind of, hi. I mean, not the strong guy you'd figure he'd have to be to go out and kick some of the ass that he kicked in his life. And all those fishermen and all those carpenters and truck drivers, all those guys that became his apostles were pretty hardcore. You can't look like some kind of a lightweight, right? So ever since I was a kid, I developed this theory about Jesus was basically like a street guy from that time, okay? In other words, and the closest I've ever seen them come to this was Willem Dafoe in Last Temptation of Christ. But Jesus Christ probably looked like a guy pushing a shopping cart, just wild and crazy, missing maybe a tooth. Who says he wasn't missing some teeth? And he'd come into town with a tooth missing and go, I'm God. I'm God. These people are... Get out of here and put the fruit back, too. That's 12 cents a pound. Give me the apple back and put it. Get out of here. You and your apostles coming through here, you're ripping off fruit. But I'm God. I'm here to save you. And he looked like a guy, he looked like Willie Fullgear. Although Willie looked pretty good the other night. I shouldn't say that. He looked like Nick Nolte, in other words. He was a guy that lived on the street, so I bet you he was missing some teeth. Maybe he kind of scabs on his arms, and he was just walking around with these other 12 guys, and they were scaring the hell out of everybody, just scaring everyone. And they finally didn't have, you know, but he obviously had some kind of juice because they decided they were going to execute this guy. But that was my theory about Jesus as a street guy. Ever since good old Sister Irene, who, by the way, quit the nuns and went on to become, I think, like a fashion model. Have you ever heard of such a thing? It happened. This nun that taught me in the seventh grade became a fashion model. Anyway, she said that he looked like a kind of a, she didn't use the word, but he looked lightweight, little gay, little light in the slippers. So that's why I today have always ascribed to the theory Jesus looked a little bit more like some cat's, you know, looking for the Oscars. As a matter of fact, if you want to know what those other three Oscars are, so if you see a guy digging through a dumpster, better treat him good. It could be Jesus. But most likely, it ain't. It's the Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. And Jim Sadler is back on with us. Dr. Jim Sadler. How are you, Jim? Jim, you there?
Yeah, I'm doing all right. So I heard your last guest. I'm still shaking my head over.
Well, that's Ted and Ted Bell. We had a lady call up and said, well, I heard him on your show a while back when he was saying something about his wife. And we said, well, yeah, we've had Ted on our show before. She says, well, I would think after that show that he did about his wife that you wouldn't have him on again. I said, why wouldn't I have Ted on? Are you telling me that I wouldn't put a guy like that on again? I mean, he's a...
Well, he's very controversial. I know that. And I know his business is good. I guess that's how you keep business going.
Absolutely. But he's an interesting guy. Did you hear my little rap there about Jesus?
I thought it was very interesting about Jesus. And it's quite possible that he was a lot more extreme a person than some people thought. But I thought it was very good.
Tell us about your book, which is coming out this summer. And I know it's on Mainline Press. It's called Lessons from Jesus. And this is a children's book, right?
It is indeed, Phil, and it is a cautionary tale, and it really, we desperately, Phil, need to teach children respect of their parents. We look at our society today, children not obeying their parents, children with no respect for authority, and we think that it's time that we have a book that relates directly to children, and that's what Lessons from Jesus is about. It's a religious book having to do with some of the things that we feel Jesus would want young people to do. Lessons from Jesus, we hope, will teach children the proper authority, respect for authority, and the proper respect for the parents.
Now, the number one cause of juvenile crime and accidents in the home, number one cause is no parental control?
We think it's a lack of parental control. There is no parental control in the home. And we think that children should always obey their parents. But we think, with one caveat, we feel in our research it's ultimately healthier to obey your father than your mother.
Now, that was the thing that got me about your... This is apart from your book, Lessons from Jesus, which is a children's book, right?
It is written for children to understand, yes.
You believe that it's better for a kid, if you got two parents telling you completely different things...
Obey your father.
Obey your father.
Because he is the progeny of Jesus. Jesus was a man. And that's why you should obey. Let's look at the Ilian Gonzalez situation, Phil, and we use two examples in Lessons from Jesus. Here is a boy who was told by his father, don't go to America with your mother. He went with her anyway. And in our book, we basically lay it out this way. Ilian Gonzalez woke up one morning after disobeying his father, and he got on an inner tube with his mother to go to Miami. Jesus had to teach him a lesson. She drowned, and so did his stepfather. And he was lashed to an inner tube, completely dehydrated, and waiting for the Coast Guard. Jesus taught Ilian a very important lesson. Little Ilian didn't listen to his father, so therefore Jesus had to drown his mother. Jesus had to take Ilian's mother.
Wait, this is in the book Lessons from Jesus.
Jesus had to drown Ilian's mother because he did not do what his father told him to do. His father forbade him to go to America. His father said, you cannot go to America with your mother. He disobeyed because, why, Phil? Disneyland, Miami Beach, conga lines, rum punch, all the things that a child... Yes, they light up the eyes of a child.
They'd light a conga line and rum punch would light up my eyes.
Well, I'm saying the culture of America. And so he wanted to go to Disneyland and ride on the new rocket rods. And he wanted to go to Disneyland and ride on the new Twilight Zone Tower of Terror. So he disobeyed his father. He went with his mother.
And that's when Jesus had to teach him the lesson.
That is what Lessons from Jesus is all about.
That's a little boy. Ilian Gonzalez has got an awful lot of publicity of late about his plight. Now, you say that his father forbade him to go to America.
Well, obviously, because his father was seen on the news. He decided he didn't want him to go.
And is it possible that his mother took him against his will?
I would have believed that, Phil. And if his mother took him against his will, that would have, Jesus would have forgiven him and probably wouldn't have drowned his mother. In our book, we say that. I don't know. But because he was having so much fun at Disney World, and I saw his face, I studied his face on the news clips that I saw, and he looked a little too comfortable in those Mickey Mouse ears. And frankly, if the boy, Phil, had obeyed his father and wanted to stay in Cuba after the inner tube sunk with his, or after his mother and stepfather died, I should say, he would have stayed on the inner tube and somehow made his way back to Cuba. But instead, he kept paddling to Florida. And
do we know for, so his mother and stepfather, this is a very tragic.
Oh, it's very tragic. But sometimes Jesus has to do this to little kids, and that's what we say in Lessons from Jesus. Sometimes Jesus, even though he's love, he's not that much love. You know, there's a little, there's a little ball busting, you know, going on there. That,
all right, well, I mean, well, you're saying that Jesus, so the little boy, Ilian Gonzalez, got on an inner tube.
Yeah, right, he got on the inner tube. He went over to Florida and his mother drowned. If he wanted to return to Cuba, he would have begun paddling in a southerly direction. But when the Coast Guard picked him up, they said that he had paddled probably another good mile, 2 miles.
On his way to Miami.
On his way. He was heading due north. And we know the boy had been at it for a good 2 or 3 hours, because he'd gotten a good two, against those currents, too, which are brutal. The boy had gotten closer. Jesus taught that little boy a lesson. Don't you ever disrespect your father, or we'll kill your mother. And so God killed Ilian Gonzalez's mother.
Well, isn't that, it's a tough lesson to take. I mean, it's such a sharp and harsh lesson.
But we want our children to respect authority, Phil, and we want our children to love Jesus. Those two things. Do what your mother and father says to do, and love Jesus. If you don't do that, we have a society that's now out of control. Look at our world today. Has anyone ever seen a place so filled with greed? Has anyone ever seen a world so filled with violence and violence against all kinds of people? It's because we don't have Lessons from Jesus.
Dr. Jim Sadler is with us. His book is on Mainline Press, Lessons from Jesus, a cautionary tale for children, written for children, about respecting parental authority. And in the first part of the book, you mentioned that Ilian Gonzalez's mother drowned because he disobeyed his father by going to America. Now, what possible, this is a pop-up?
This is a pop-up book, yes. So there are a number of...
Now, what when you say...
Well, you have to make it a book so that the children can not only enjoy the story, but visually. And
all right, so I've got a copy of this. Craig, hand me this, Lessons from Jesus. This is the chapter one is about Ilian leaving Cuba with his mother. And now I go to chapter two. Okay, now they're drowned. Now I see this is a pop-up. It has the inner tube with the boy and his mother on it.
Right, now go to the next page.
Okay, and this is pop-up number three. It's just him on the inner tube. And I see two hands sticking up out of the water.
Right, one of them is his mother's. The other is the stepfather. Jesus has taken them because he disobeyed. And you can see Ilian frantically, even though his mother and father are dead, his mother and stepfather are dead, Ilian still frantically paddling toward Miami because he wants to go on the, the Twilight Zone Space Mountain deal or whatever. And pull the tab, Phil.
All right, I'm pulling the hands are going up and down in the water. That's...
You see, you pull the tab, the hand goes up and down. So
I don't know if this is a book a child should read without an adult.
Oh, absolutely, an adult should be with them. Absolutely, an adult should be with them, by all means.
All right, Dr. Jim Sadler is with us. The book is called Lessons from Jesus. I want to get into part two here about JonBenet Ramsey and the fact that God was punishing her for not obeying her father, right?
God punished JonBenet Ramsey because her father didn't want her to be in those beauty pageants. Her mother did. And so God punished her for disobeying her father by having her head kicked in. And this is a lesson that a lot of kids have to learn. Obeying your father, many times obeying both your parents is good, but obeying your father more important.
Wow. Tough book. Tough kids book, but written for children lessons from Jesus. 1-800-449-8686 is the number. Dr. Jim Sadler is with us on the Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show at 1-800-449-8686. Dr. Jim Sadler is on the line with us from Los Angeles. Now, the notion, your book is called Lessons from Jesus.
That is correct.
And it's a children's book.
And I recognize, Phil, that it is a very, very rough primer for children in obedience to authority. But I think we have a society that needs it right now. Look at Columbine. Look at the youth of our country. Obviously, the psychology of the past has not worked. What we want to do is tie religion and life together. And that's why Lessons from Jesus teach these valuable life lessons.
Well, a valuable life lesson you want a kid to take away from JonBenet Ramsey is she disobeyed her father. She started doing beauty pageants. And so Jesus had her head kicked in.
Yeah, Jesus did not kick her head in. He had it done, yes. And these are the things that we think are important for the kids to understand. Things can take a turn for the worse.
1-800-449-8686, Albany on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, sir, you're on the air.
Yeah, I'm appalled by what this gentleman is trying to assert here, that Jesus, God, Buddha, anybody would have a child's head kicked in because they disobey their father.
Well, why do you suppose God lets these things happen, sir? You have a young girl who was involved in a very suspect world of beauty pageants for underage girls, prepubescent girls. A woman in that family got the girl involved in it.
Patsy Ramsey, but I mean, the little girl, does she deserve death?
For disobeying her father.
Well, I mean, even more than
yes.
that. I mean, you know, there's a lot of bad people out there in the world doing a lot of things that God doesn't have their, or Jesus doesn't have their head kicked in. A child being in a beauty pageant is not nearly as bad as somebody delivering thousands of pounds of cocaine to America.
But
a year
look at the
that,
look at
that
the
are killing hundreds of thousands of people.
But all of those crimes that you just mentioned to me are as a result of non-parental guidance of people who went out and lived their lives badly because they did not have a parent guiding them. JonBenet Ramsey's, this has taught us an awful lot. We've learned a lot. So when Jesus had her head kicked in, we've learned a lot. And we are trying to make sure those lessons are not lost.
Well, what have we learned? Jesus had her head kicked in. First of all, it just sounds, it sounds bad, okay?
Well, it sounds horrible.
Wait. Do you think that God lets these things happen? Or he has no control over these things? Why haven't
asking me?
I'm going to ask that. Why, you know...
Why, Phil, I'll ask you this. Why haven't they solved the crime? Why haven't they solved the crime, sir?
Why haven't they solved the crime? Because they haven't been able to figure out who did it. That's why they haven't solved it.
I'll tell you why they haven't solved the crime. Because the guy who did it lives in heaven.
Oh, my God.
Oh, come on.
Well, why haven't they solved the crime?
Why haven't they solved the crime?
Because
they haven't been able to figure it out and put all the pieces together.
Are you going to be the guy that's going to get bust Jesus? I don't think so. This guy, if you want to talk about slippery, Jesus has got to be slippier than anybody. Okay, so that's what I'm saying. They haven't solved the crime because Jesus did it. And
well,
he did it for a reason.
You just contradicted yourself. Just a minute ago, you said that Jesus didn't do it.
Well, no, he didn't
he
do it in the way
else
that...
Do it,
well, he
and
didn't
now
do
you're
it.
Telling me that Jesus, who lives in heaven, kicked in this kid's head.
No. Sir, what I'm saying is Jesus didn't do it any more than Al Capone committed the St. Valentine's Day Massacre. But he ordered it, and under the RICO statutes, would be held accountable for it. The same with Jesus.
I'm sitting here just...
Wait a second. We're going to arrest Jesus...
Al Capone.
No, I'm saying that...
We're going to arrest Jesus Christ under the RICO stats?
You're not going to arrest Jesus Christ. One of the Ten Commandments says, honor your father and your mother. Father is first in the Bible. You obey your father first.
You know, but that's, I mean...
You obey
I
your father
agree.
First.
You know, I'm not a religious type person.
Right.
But, you know, I was raised with very good values in my home, in a Midwestern home.
Thank God for that, sir.
Where my family taught us good values.
I'm glad.
But you know what? I disobeyed my parents all the time as a child who made bad decisions. and God didn't kick my head in.
Sir, you were not high profile. JonBenet Ramsey was
high profile either.
She was in a beauty pageant, for crying out loud.
Yeah, but you know what? There's thousands of
a lot of little girls in beauty pageants. Yeah. Thank you for your call, sir. 1-800-449-8686. Cloverdale on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello. Cloverdale, hello.
Hello.
Yes, ma'am, you're on the air.
Okay. Yeah, I think it is absolutely ridiculous that this man has written a book for children, making it sound as though the only one who knows anything is their father, and that they should only do things that their father says.
Why would Jesus kill the kid? Because he didn't listen to his father.
Jesus didn't kill the kid.
That Elian Gonzalez kid, who did he come to America with? His mother and a stepfather. And his father wanted him in Cuba, and he disobeyed his father, so Jesus had them drowned.
Oh, my goodness. And someone
Jesus
has let you publish this book?
Ma'am, these are lessons in life. Disobedience. Were you ever a mother?
No, I just have 7 children.
Okay.
I was never a mother.
Would you ever want your children to disobey you?
No.
If one of your children disobeyed you, wouldn't you want God holding their head underwater?
No, I wouldn't.
Why not? Don't
because
you want,
I don't
what are you talking
think,
about?
I mean, my God isn't that kind of a God.
Oh, he isn't. He just lets all these things happen while he sits on his big fat ass in heaven. Come on, lady.
Oh, come
well,
on.
You have a little respect. What are you talking
like
about?
You've written if you, a book
exactly.
For children?
You wrote a book for children called Lessons from Jesus. Now God's sitting on his big fat ass in heaven,
yeah.
Huh? And
well, look at all the horrible things that are happening, and this lady thinks God's got nothing to do with them. I'm saying everything is done for a reason. Everything in life is for a reason, and everything that happens is for a reason. Elian Gonzalez was punished for running away from home.
Because his father didn't want him to go, right?
He ran away.
Didn't mind his father.
He ran away from home, so God drowned his mother.
Oh, my goodness.
Jesus had his mother drown. What is wrong with the logic?
I think you've got rocks in your head.
No, ma'am, the logic is absolutely perfect. And I would think of your 7 children that you have, if one of them disobeyed you, you'd want something to happen to them to remind them of who their mother was.
Right? How come you didn't say of who their father was?
Like an automobile accident or something. Well, how come you never said who the father of your children are? Who's the father of your children?
Their father.
Oh, you don't want to give a name, huh?
Why
ashamed
should I?
Of it. You must admit your husband was more right than you were when it came to raising the kids. Right?
Are you kidding?
No, I'm not kidding. Far more right than you.
Well, you're too
are you telling me that if your children didn't obey you, you wouldn't want them to have a moderate automobile accident or something that would remind them of who the boss was? Of course you would, ma'am. Read my book, Lessons from Jesus. I insist that you buy it.
I wouldn't dream of wasting my money
well,
on it.
Well, you may not have any choice. I insist that you buy it.
Well, if she doesn't buy it...
She's going to buy it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, really. You're going to buy it. Now go out and buy it. Shut up and buy it.